Good afternoon, my brother, or
It's
good
morning.
morning.
It's still morning. Trust me, it's morning.
How are you, man?
Oh, you know, doing pretty good. The kids are hanging in there. I think the sun's out, but I'm in my basement fortress here, so I can't tell.
Say that again?
I'm in my basement fortress here with no windows, so I can't tell if the sun is out, but I think it is.
Oh, nah, man! I had to tell my neighbor to lower his music because I'm about to jump on this call and I can literally hear everything that he's listening to. So I had to shut that down.
You may hear loud stomping and renditions of the Itsy Bitsy Spider as well upstairs. So just as a heads up.
Nah, man! Thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
Sure.
I haven't had a guest in so long, so, you know, this is super exciting for me.
I'm glad to be part of it, man. You know, hopefully I come up with something good. We have a good conversation.
Yeah, definitely. But just to get started, you know, so that the people will know you know, some of the work that you've done, basically. Why don't you tell a little bit about yourself? Tell us, you know, where you're from. Your name and, you know, just a little introduction and
sure.
We can jump on from there.
Yeah, sure. So, my name is Ryan Miller. I am from, Utica, New York. Well, I live in Utica, New York, from Utica, New York-ish. So like if you're from upstate New York, you know that like there is a million tiny little towns and villages when we really should just have like a county. But I grew up in a burb outside of Utica called New York Mills. Tiny, tiny village. Literally, the village of New York Mills is 1 square mile. Literally.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, and you know, this kind of speaks to, I think it was wonderful to have a little bit of that identity growing up. But it speaks to, I think, a lot of the challenges that cities and stuff are facing now, because it's like, you know, this is 1 square mile. We had our own elementary school and high school. It was all one building, K-12, and I had I think it was 38 kids in my graduating class, something like that.
That's so insane.
Totally small, you know, its own fire department, its own police department, like financially completely irresponsible, I think, now to have all these small villages. But anyway, that's where I grew up, and then I now live with my wife and my two kids and my dog in South Utica, which is like 2 miles from where I grew up. So that's the short, you know.
And it's my understanding that you've traveled, though, that you lived in other places as well.
Well, no, I mean, well, in terms of define living, you know, I did a semester abroad when I was in college in Galway, Ireland. But I've done a fair amount of traveling in my 20s before I kind of settled down. You know, one of the things that, you know, I think when you look at I would call big travel, which is certainly not what most people that are real travelers would say, but like, you know, I was very fortunate that my senior year of high school, I really wanted to backpack Europe. And I had a friend that was into it at the time, and so we kind of made plans my senior year of high school and saved money all year, and I graduated, and a week later I got on a plane and spent a month going from London down to central Italy over
wow.
25 days. Life-changing experience, man, you know. So those kinds of things, you know. So I didn't live in other countries, but I've done a fair amount, done some treks in Ireland, Peru, Morocco, things that I think just I've been super fortunate to have these experiences that kind of open your eyes and kind of get you out of your main
no,
way
that's
of living
awesome,
and thinking,
man.
You know?
Especially since in your case, you know, you've only lived in a specific spot
yeah.
and it's been so small for, you know, the majority of your life.
Yeah.
In my case, you know, just it's so different because I had to move every 2 years for whatever reason. And, you know, when I was 9, I had to leave the country that I was born into, travel to another country, try to learn the language. And then, I don't know, it's been pretty crazy.
So what did that teach you? Like, I mean, I'm sure it taught you a million things, but like, what's the thing?
The
you know,
thing
said,
is
what,
that,
yeah.
Honestly, just everybody's just different everywhere. That's it. Honestly, it's just everybody's just different everywhere. Everybody has their own customs, their own thing, somewhere, everywhere. Even when I moved up here to Utica, I remember I was introduced to tomato pie.
Yeah.
And the first time that I heard the word tomato pie, I was like, dude, that sounds so gross. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking a pie made out of tomatoes. I was like, that
Right.
is so disgusting. It would be like hot tomato sauce
Right.
on a pie. So, but yeah, that's
But people
it's
with people
interesting, man.
too, you know, like I remember being in I remember being in Morocco, which is a much different, obviously much different culture than what I'm used to. And you know, going through the souks and the kind of the shopping areas, and everyone's kind of like yelling at you, like come buy my thing, come try my tea, come try, you know, whatever, right? And like I had a really hard time with that because I'm not, first of all, I don't like to shop at all, like period. I get like anxiety if someone comes up to me and says, "Can I help you?" Like, no, I know exactly what I'm doing. Let me do my thing. And so to have be in a context where like people are actively like trying to sell you was difficult for me until I realized, like, it took me a couple days, and I once I kind of just let my guard down and realized, like, this is a game. Like, this is a game, you
Yeah.
know. And people, they want to talk to you. They want, of course, they want to sell you stuff, but they want to talk to you. They want to negotiate. It's a game. You know, over anytime I've gotten to travel, especially to some place that might be a little different than what you're used to, you know, I think you also realize that people are, everyone, we all want the same things, right? Like everybody at their core, I think, wants to connect with other people. They want a better life for their family. They have to work, they have to hustle, and they just, you know, everyone just wants to be happy. And I think if you can kind of go into a conversation or an uncomfortable situation realizing that, then that's the first step towards making a good connection. It's just like, by default, people are just people, man, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Regardless of whether wherever they live. You know, my father-in-law always told me, you know, at the end of the day, we all have the same needs. We all gotta eat. We all have to use the bathroom. We all need someplace to live. You know, beyond that, it's just personal aspirations, basically.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, it was a great opportunity to get to do some of that stuff, you know,
No, that's
and
awesome, man. Not a lot of people get to travel, especially, you know. I've met a couple of people who've lived who have not even gone away from what is upstate New York. And I'm sure you know your share fair of people who haven't you know left or seen the world outside. But you know for somebody who has lived the majority of his life in one place and you know has gone out backpacking throughout Europe, you know, what would you recommend to somebody who hasn't traveled?
who hasn't traveled?
Yeah, who hasn't traveled or who hasn't
Well,
seen,
so
like.
if I had a time machine, right, I would say go travel. The problem now is that like you can't travel.
Well,
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
obviously.
Like that's the problem. I mean, and I think, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. One of my favorite pastimes, and it's been for the last like couple of years, I love Google Earth like so much. So at night,
Yeah,
like
you
that's a
told
lot of
me.
times one of the last things I do. I just surf Google Earth. But if you travel's relative, like you don't have to go overseas if you don't, you know, if you can't afford to, or if it's not
Right.
a goal of yours, like just start small, you know. And like there's so many, you know, one of the things that my wife and I have gotten really into, we had never taken advantage of visiting so many of like our country's national parks. Like they're
Right.
unbelievable, dude. They're
Yeah.
unbelievable. And so for us now, like we're trying to make a priority to think about when our kids get a little older, we want to go and do as many of the national parks as we can.
That's a
So, you
great
know,
idea.
travel is travel, man, or state park, you know, there's so many places, especially now that you're kind of people are crawling the walls. There are so many amazing things to see in your own region, in your own state. You know, that's still travel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's true. It's true. But
And
just to
I
jump.
guess to try to meet people, you know, like don't just go and look at something. Like I think that's a big key component is like of, you know, there's tourism and there's travel, right? I think travel is like I'm kind of making this up as I go here, but like tourism, I think of like looking at things, and travel is like looking at things and meeting people, you know.
Yeah. But let me ask you something, man. So you know, out of all the people that I know, you're in a very interesting position where you get to handle, you get to meet, you get to mentor, I guess, a lot of people. And
Yeah.
what do you think of this time when in entrepreneurship? Like clearly, you know, this is a time for innovation and creativity. But what has been a trend that you've seen with all of the entrepreneurs that you usually deal with? How are they handling this situation?
Well, it varies, you know, but I think I don't know. Like I'm not gonna have any original
Yeah.
thought here, right? And because I've been reading a lot about this stuff over the last, now it's been 8 weeks. And I think the best stuff that I would say I would appropriate or disseminate is that a few main trends. Like number one, people keep talking about going back to normal. Like that's not gonna happen ever, right? That doesn't mean that we don't, you know, have restaurants again or those kinds of things. But like, you know, a good analogy that I read was I can't remember who posted it. You know, when the first hydrogen bomb was detonated, right? Like that, there was no going back, right? That changed everything because now we had the capacity, this nuclear
Yeah,
capacity,
destroyed
right?
cities.
Which affected the way, right? They had the capacity to really destroy everything, right? It doesn't mean that people didn't go and live their lives, but it fundamentally changed. It like planted this permanent change in the back of
Yeah.
people's minds, right? Like there's this thing that exists now, and I think this is the same. Like there's never going to be going back. So in terms of like trends, the best analogy that I've heard is that this is just. This necessarily hasn't changed everything. It has accelerated everything.
Interesting.
And so, like macro trends that you're seeing in terms of education being a bubble, in terms of, you know, the cost of education being unaffordable, student debt being unaffordable, that's, you know, you're going to see fallout from education because I think a lot of, you know, a lot of schools are going to, you know, the Ivy Leagues and these massive private institutions are probably going to be fine, but these middle of the road private colleges, some are going to
Yeah.
fail, I think, and education is going to be moving to a more hybrid model. Like that was going to happen anyway. It's just happening faster. You know, the idea ideas around delivering goods and services digitally—that's what you're seeing, and that's what I'm seeing, right? Like that was happening. It was important. Now it's critical. All this stuff is just happening faster. You know, and I think there's going to be like remote work, right? Like, but I think you're going to see, I mean, like we're seeing, there's going to be some businesses and some companies that are going to come through this better than they were
Yeah.
before. So this is a bifurcation. This is going to create an enormous amount of opportunity, an enormous amount of opportunity, but it's also going to really hurt a lot of people. And that's the downside, right? Like it's going to be bifurcated. So I think a lot of people that entrepreneurship is like has been really sexy the last
Yeah.
10 years, and now it's going to see like who's really
Yeah.
got it, who's really got the grit to do this, because it's going to be super hard, right? So I think those are some of the things that you're going to see as a result of this, is like it's going to just get wicked hard for a lot of people, and a lot of things that we like or took for granted are either going to not make it or have to change, and some folks will change and some won't. And you know, I think that's just that's what it's going to be for a while now. But I think it's going to be really hard to be successful. But for people that can figure this out, it's going to be giant
Yeah,
opportunity.
absolutely. You know, I think we if we were to look back 100 years ago, during the last outbreak that we had in the world, 100 years ago, the world was so different, you know? And so, I mean, we didn't even have the internet back then. But imagine what the next 100 years will look like for us, for your kids, for my kids, for our grandkids. You know, that's, I don't know whether it, you know, it's exciting or it's scary, but it's just, you know, it's open. It's open. It's never been written. It's never been done, whatever the future holds. So, you know, this is all so interesting to me, man.
Well, I think too, you know, there's going to be parts of this where, you know, people are talking about like wanting to go back. Like, there's going to be parts of this. People, like, let's take remote work. Like, there's going to be a lot of people that this works for, and they're going to be like, I don't want to go back to an office, right? Like, I like being at home. I like being around my family. I think there, you know, not everybody, right? But like, I think I'm reading this book, right? My wife got me this book for my birthday, and it's called Do Nothing. And it's a book about like how to like why are we so stressed with filling every hour of a day and being productive? Like, what happened to just doing nothing? And it's very interesting. It goes through like the historical you know, trajectory of work and how we think about work as a society and all that. But it's really good. I'm only about 120 pages into it, but you know, it's in being home with two kids, my work day has changed, right? So instead of like going to the office at 8:30 and coming home at 5, kind of Monday through Friday, in some ways it's 24/7, right? But what I'm trying to do is like today, and so like my wife is working as well. We have a 4-year-old and a 18-month-old, and so that's really challenging. So what we've had to do is kind of batch stuff. So I work in the most mornings, right, till around nap time, and then we switch, and then she works and I take care of the kids, and then we both kind of after bedtime, we both put in some work most nights, not all nights. But the fact is, I don't have a straight 8-hour workday, but there's still a ton of work. And I'll tell you what, like, without the interruptions and stuff, like I kind of like this. I do. So people are going to figure this out. And I think this idea of these straight 9-to-5 things in a lot of ways are going to change for a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of things that are super interesting. And for my kids, like the biggest thing that I worry about is, you know, are there going to be lasting impacts on them around this not being able to get close to people, you know, like at the age that they are, or you think about, you know, students in high school, people that are graduating their senior year, missing out on these amazing transitional points in their lives. Like, what are the long-term implications of that? And
Yeah,
that
that's
is
true.
that's scary to me. For other people, you know? I mean,
Yeah,
did
I
you go to
actually went
college,
to
or did you
college.
jump
I
right
went
into
to
work?
LaGuardia Community College for 2 years. I graduated from there, and then I went to John Jay for a year, but I couldn't. It was too much for me because I had to work. I had to pay rent. I had to do a whole bunch of stuff. So then I was taking psychology as well, and then I eventually I decided that, you know what, this is not what I want to do. So I dropped out, and so I only have an associate's degree. I do plan to go back, and to be honest, I don't, you know, I want to go back. I would like to get my PhD in psychology, but then again, I don't even want to practice psychology, so why even, you know, why even bother?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about that too, you know, like I've got a bachelor's degree. I don't have an MBA. You know, when I try to square, like, why would I go back and get an MBA or a PhD? Well, part of it is like, if that's what you are driven towards, I think you should do it for sure. Like, if that is the thing that you want to do, because it is a life path, whether you want to teach or you want to have that certification that I have, you know, jumped that hurdle. I think you should do that. I think if it's related strictly to income, if it's like, well, I'm going to make more with an MBA versus you know, a bachelor's, I think you should really do the math, because, you know, I'm looking at it and going, all right, what's an MBA, is, you know, an MBA going to cost me another 60 grand? At
An
my age,
MBA.
at 40 almost, you know, like, am I get, yeah. And, you know, for me, it's like, I at least right now, the way I'm looking at it and going, okay, well, I'm sitting in a place where the education system is already going to change. There's, I don't want a lot of student debt now with a family. And I've been incredibly privileged to have some great experience around, like you said, mentoring and in business. I don't see the outputs
That's
outweighing the
interesting.
inputs for me. And I think people got to take a hard look at this. Like, why are you doing this? And then what outputs are you hoping to gain? And does it in fact outweigh the inputs in terms of time, debt, and trade-offs with other life decisions?
So, let me ask you something. If somebody, let's say the next high school student, wants to go to college, what do you have any advice for that person? Because some, a lot of people have always taken the traditional route, and as we were saying earlier, what is the new normal might not be the next normal. What do you think? What do you think those people should do? You think they should wait to see what the market will look like in regards to schooling, or you think they should just jump right into it, or I don't know, maybe they should do some entrepreneurship on their own.
The thing is, every, when you say a high school student, like, there are all kinds of high school students. I think that some high school students should absolutely go to college, like, immediately. There are some that should not at all. When I think about my daughter, who's going to be 4 in June, we've started kind of a fledgling college savings fund for her already, but, like, I fully anticipate that the entire idea of college will be completely different
Yeah, that's true.
by the time she's ready to go or makes that decision, right? And so I don't think that the experience that she may have in higher education is going to be remotely the same experience that I'm going to have or I had. And I certainly don't believe that, with some exceptions like Ivy League and some of these private institutions, that like, the costs have just gone up so much, like, it's just not worth it for people to go. It's just not worth it. In unless you go to a community college. Like, to me, the path of, like, highest value is community college, and then finish a 2 year at a state school. Like, to me, that's the maximum value that I think you can get in the market today. But there's a great article by Scott Galloway on his blog No Mercy, No Malice, about a week ago, that was talking about how, and schools are starting to see this right now, because, like, let's take a, and I don't know, like, I'm not going to make any judgments around a particular college, but, you've got some of these universities that are 50, 40, $50,000 a year, right? So you take that and split it in half. Let's say it's $20,000 to $25,000 per
Which is
semester.
outrageous.
It's crazy. It's crazy, right? But then you look at, okay, there are a lot of schools that are thinking about not opening in the fall and moving it all online. If I'm a parent of a graduating senior, no way. No way. I'm not going to pay $25,000 till this is all, for glorified Zoom classes right now. No way. I don't think you can, in most institutions, can justify that, especially when we're just figuring this out. But anyway, this Galloway blog was talking about, a third path for a lot of people, especially young men. He was advocating, this should be a transition for a lot of people, maybe moving forward permanently. So when you graduate high school, take a gap year and do service for a year. And, his point was, we need in this country to, in the 60s, the Peace Corps, when Kennedy,
That was a
kind of
huge
brought the Peace
thing.
Corps into existence, that fundamentally, oh, it transformed a generation because it gave them opportunities for travel and for service to meet people that weren't like us. And it gave you money. And so Galloway's talking about what we need now is, like, the 21st century version of the Peace Corps. He calls it the Corona Corps. And he said, what we need is an army of 100,000 young people that maybe decide to defer college for a year, that are frankly not immunocompromised, right? That have the ability to really help rebuild this country in terms of education, infrastructure, contact tracing, everything that we're going to need to fight this virus. And it puts them in a position where they can grow, travel, meet people in our own country that are not like them, and serve for a year. And his argument is they're going to come
Better,
out
yeah.
as just better human beings, ready for whatever that next step is going to be. And I 100% agree with that. I think for a lot of people, what an opportunity, you know, if you have the opportunity, or if we could get our act together and fund something like this, and the deal is maybe you make a living wage for this service year, and or maybe I can't remember what the details were, but it was like, we're gonna, for that service year, we're gonna basically treat this as the new GI Bill, or we're gonna pay for your whatever college you want to do, we're gonna pay for your college for a year of service. To me, that's a good deal. And I think we need to start thinking, you know, if I'm a young person, thinking about an opportunity for a year of service, I think is something
Yeah,
that
that's true.
is
And you know
appealing.
what's so interesting? Nowadays we have so much information, you know, available to us. And you know, even the high school students are much more smarter now than, you know, they probably were before. Maybe not necessarily academic wise, but maybe just having the access to information in their hands. And you know, a lot of them, they've woken up and they've seen, you know, the what the college world really looks like, you know, because you know, even their parents are in debt. You know, they have cousins, aunts, they have I know people who have had kids that have gone to college and they still haven't been able to pay off their debts. And so, you know, this whole transition, and I think having maybe a program like that where it would encourage high school students, especially coming out, you know, maybe you don't know what you need to do or what you want to do, but let me give you another option. Why don't you do a year of service? We'll pay you. And after that, you might be able to decide what you want to do. Because, you know, they've been drilled for 4 years straight, you know, just information and essays and textbooks. And here in New York State, they have to take exams. And so, you know, once they graduate, they're like, okay, well, I guess I just have to go to college. There's no other option, you know? But a lot of that is changing.
Well, and we ask you know, we ask you as a freshman, what's your major? What's the thing that you want to be, right? And like, that's, who
Yeah.
know, how can you possibly know that
Yeah,
when you're
exactly.
18, 19, 20 years old? Like, you know, and it's a thing, right? What's the thing that you want to, well, I want to be 30 things in my life. I want to be 30 things, you know, like my daughter's, you know, every week she asks me, like, I think this week she was like, Dad, I want to be a vet. Can I be a vet when I grow up? I'm like, yes, you can. Absolutely, you could be a vet. You know, and the week before that, she was like, Dad, I think I want to be a ballet dancer when I grow up. Can I do that? I'm like, yes. And I want her to not only go through life thinking she can be anything she wants to be, but she can be all of those things, because I'm on my like sixth
Yeah.
career, you know, till I finally figure out, like, I'm good at this and I like it. Like, I found that intersection, but it's taken me. You know, I
Yeah.
graduated college in 2003, and I started doing this 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a gap of figuring out what it is that you want to do, but more important, what are the things that you don't want to do? You
Yeah.
know, like, I think it's important
That's
to figure that
actually
out
pretty,
real
that's a good
fast.
point, man. Figuring out what you don't want to do actually will lead you to what you do want to do. You know, I.
And when you're done doing, like, you can do something else. That's what I think, what people get caught up on a lot of times. It's like, this is the one thing that I need to do. Well, you said it. You know, you've got access to the world's information. Go learn how to do something else and then go do it. You know, I mean,
A whole bunch
you've done a
of
bunch of
things.
different things. You know, do property management. You know, I feel like you know how to hustle and you know how to look for opportunity. You know, that's a skill set in itself. But, you know, I mean, think about, like, even this remote work and you know, I think about, like, this is an opportunity for us as a city, as a state, as a country, as a world, to step back and go, because we've had to just, like, be on pause. And what do you want? What do you want to get out? What do we want the output of this time to be, besides obviously, kind of
Yeah.
making sure as few people die as possible? But like, what I think about, like, okay, what if we could get people to come out of this where everyone makes a living wage? That while this entire federal economic stimulus has been a complete cluster, I
Yeah.
mean a complete cluster, this idea of everyone got $1,200 as a that I was part of the I was
Yeah, me
a supporter
too.
of Andrew Yang when he was running, and like people got a taste of what UBI can look like, and I'm like, people are gonna like that, like it, what happens if we could prioritize maybe not a 50-hour work week, but a 25 to 30-hour work week, and in some way subsidize or encourage, people to give more of their time to service. Like, one of the reasons that we, a lot of not-for-profits are hurting and we have so much need is people are struggling to make their own ends meet and feed themselves. Like, if you can take care of some basic needs, I think you can try to, people are going to be more apt to free up some of that mental bandwidth and give more. People already give a lot, but like, there's a massive opportunity for fundamental change here
No,
if
it's
we
true,
want it.
man. And it's other it's the people who are seeing the problem, and not just seeing it as a problem, but also seeing it, well, how can I or we come up with a solution to this? The entire stimulus check, it's so interesting because this that things like that can only happen in, for example, in a country like this one, where the funds are there, the economic structure is there. But like, for example, people in the Dominican Republic, there's no way that the government would be able to support that many people. And I look at the United States. It's such a vast, such a huge country, compared to the many other countries. And it's so diverse as well, but it's so interesting how in moments like these, it's not about just me, you. It's about like us, the United States of America. What are we gonna do about this? Our people are struggling. Our essential workers are the ones that are out there. But I guess I'm just rambling here, and
No, but you said something very important. You said at moments like these, and here's where I like maybe get up on a soapbox a little bit. It's like, okay, so we've proved that to use your words, in moments like these, we can try to, be like, okay, there's the economic will to give people a little. I mean, this is a tiny, tiny life raft, right? Like in the grand scheme of things, right? They did that in 2 weeks, right? But when you talk about like, oh, we really want to give people access to health care, or we want to pay people a living wage, you're like, that's too hard. We can't
Yeah, it's
afford
true.
that. That's bullshit. That is bullshit. It's you find the money. It's a matter of priority. We can have these things if we demand it. And yes, things have to change and things have to shift, but I think it's a false argument to say that we can't afford to do something. We can. It might come at the expense of something else. But they just spent $3 trillion in 2 weeks, right? And I think there's going to be a lot of this stuff that's going to be it's a cluster. I'm not saying it was done in the right way, but there was political will when there was an emergency. How about we stop reacting in terms of emergencies? And what if we could step back and say, what do we really want as a country? I think, if we had more access to people had access to health care and a living wage,
Yeah,
like
and the
we can
country would
have
be
that.
so much better
We can.
with having those things. But
Yes.
I guess the world that we live in now, the priority is making sure that companies don't go bankrupt. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so I'll go back to Professor Galloway, because I've been reading a lot of his stuff. lately. And he brought up and Chamath Palihapitiya is another gentleman I've been reading a lot of lately too. And they made an important argument. They're like, well, why don't we just let all these businesses go bankrupt, especially large businesses? Because, you know, when they say the cruise industry is looking for a bailout, if they don't get a bailout and they go bankrupt, the cruise ships don't sink to the bottom of the ocean. They exist, and the investors, the owners, they lose their interest. But you know what? Sorry. That's how capitalism is played. And, you know, some other company will buy those assets and the cruise
It
industry
will
will
be better.
exist. It will be different, but it will exist, you know? But we've got this policy where we're bailing out these large institutions. I can't remember the term that they used, but it was welfare for the rich. We're flattening the curve so the
That's
rich don't lose
insane,
their
man.
investments. When if you really value a free market, a lot of these things are going to go bankrupt, and the assets will be reallocated, and yes, the stocks will tank, and then people like you and me that are younger will have the opportunity to buy those stocks at a lower rate and provide, so hopefully, the basis for wealth and retirement in the future as
Yeah,
they rise. Like, that's what
that's
this
so
is.
interesting. You know, now that you mention it, like the fact that capitalism is actually supposed to work that way. I don't, now that I think about it, I don't think that anywhere in capitalism or the idea of capitalism there's bailouts. Like that doesn't even make sense.
No, there's not. There's not, right? But here's the difference. It's like, you know, if the coffee shop or the sole proprietor, the owner, isn't able to function, that closes. Those assets
Yeah.
do sink to the bottom of the ocean and go away. It's these larger corporations that are owned by, you know, a lot of
Yeah.
these are owned by hedge funds and large private equity. Right, those aren't going to sink to the bottom of the ocean. I think there needs to be a focus on, you know, just smaller businesses. You know, like, and I'm not an economist. I don't know what a bailout looks like or if bailout's even the right thing to do. But like, I just think we've got our priorities
Yeah, man, it's upside
all
down,
screwed up.
honestly.
You know, and again, I'm no expert, and I'm also sitting here, you know, kind of rambling from an immense point of privilege. Like, I get that. Like, I'm trying to just check myself here, but I also think that like there's so many ways that we need to try to shore up and help smaller businesses. You know, just what it is. You know, there's a post that if you were Walmart or Amazon, how much you spend on corporate lobbying, and you know, if you in your wildest dreams, could you have the government shut down all of your competition for 2 months? You know, like, because that's really the old, they're going to come out of here,
Yeah,
you know, even
exactly.
bigger than when they went in. Because right now, look at how much you're buying from Walmart and Amazon, because
The
it's
only
the
option.
only options right now. We're doing the same thing, you know. Meanwhile, everything else is shut down. And I'm not saying just go reopen everything. It's just like it's a challenge. That's all. All right, I'm off the
You're
soapbox. I'm
fine,
off my
man.
soapbox. I'm done.
But you know, so that we can wrap this up, I just got a couple of more questions. No,
I
dude,
went
this is
way off the deep end.
exactly.
Sorry about that. You
No,
can
no,
edit
no,
that
man.
out
This
too,
all
by the
raw.
way.
It's
It's no
all
big
good.
deal.
This is exactly what I love my podcast to be. Just go. Let's see where this goes, basically. But what are so, you know, for those people who are listening, what are some books that you would recommend for them to maybe spend some time during this the virus while they're home?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm trying to balance between I read a lot of nonfiction, a lot of business books. You know, two that I haven't read in a while, but are very relevant. Both of them are by Jason Fried. One's called Rework. The other one is called Remote, which is obviously very relevant now. It's about the changing work culture. Two that I really liked recently. We're sticking on business and futurism, which is what I read a lot about, is The Future is Faster Than You Think. I just finished that. That's by Peter Diamandis, And that looks at kind of macro trends happening in the next decade or so, and this idea of convergence, like the opportunities lie from a business perspective when you can put all the pieces of baseline technologies together to combine them into something new. It's fantastic, very optimistic read. So, future's faster than you think. And I'll plug Scott Galloway's book, The Algebra of Happiness, was fantastic. I made all of my students at the college that I adjunct in, they all had to read that as part of their courses last year. And if you just want something that is maybe will help you take stock of where we are, where we're going, The
Interesting.
Algebra of Happiness
I never heard
is
that book.
fantastic.
I'm gonna look
And I'll
into
throw
it.
out two. Oh, it's great, dude. Go get it. And then the only other I'll add, read something that's not business. So I'm reading, read some fiction, read some poetry, read, there's some great, if you have an iDevice or a tablet, you can go to the Kindle store or the iBook store and you can read a lot of the classics for free because they're, the copyright's expired. And so you can like I just downloaded the Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Like I've never read Sherlock Holmes, my daughter and I re read it's one of my favorite books ever, but the original print edition of Alice in Wonderland. You
That's
know, like
true.
th this is a great opportunity to revisit some of these classic works of literature at zero
That's
cost.
true. You know, it's that's interesting because some of the a few things that I haven't read, like I haven't read that book. And also I've never watched The Wizard of Oz, which is weird. You know, and so there's all of those these classics that, you know, you're just mentioning now that, you know, I should definitely look into.
I mean, a lot of them are out there, and maybe you do like a business book, maybe you do a fiction book, and then like a book of that teaches you something new. Write down the things that you want to learn about during this crisis, and just go back to that list and find either YouTube videos or white papers or books and like just dabble. Like I took a I've been getting back into learning about wine, and like I took a 2-hour dive into the diet of Ibérico pigs the other night, that make this amazing Spanish ham. I was like, what do they eat? And I just went down the rabbit hole, and there's just
man,
so
but it's
many things out
fun.
there. So, I think if you come out of it's fun. And I think, if you got to come out of this crisis with some kind of a shift, you should come out of this in some kind of shifted perspective or a new skill or at minimum, a new curiosity.
No, it sounds good, man. Bro, last plugins for yourselves.
Yeah, man. You can find me at rustbeltstartup.com. I've got my own kind of business-esque podcast that I put out occasionally when I have I was doing bi-weekly, and then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put something out when I feel like I've got something quality. So rustbeltstartup.com is the podcast. I also do freelance consulting and web development, and then thinkubator.co is kind of my main gig, which is helping entrepreneurs get off the ground.
That's
It's
where
where
I
I met
met
you.
you, man. It's been a pleasure meeting you, bro, for real. But you can.
Dude, thanks. I hope
No,
there's some value here.
there's a
I'm
lot
not,
of
it was
value
all
on
over the
it. I
board.
trust me. But you can also find Ryan at ryancmiller.com, and I'm gonna post all of the books and everything that we've spoken about on the show notes, so you guys can take a look at that. Ryan, my brother, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you in real life again
Definitely, bro.
sometime
Enjoy the
soon.
rest of your day. Shout out to your family. Give them a hug for me, and